This is a podcast from RTE Radio 1.
This book contains the plots and books of reference unto them respectively belonging to the baronies of Rathdown, Newcastle and Uppercross, Coolock and Castleknock in the county of Dublin, which are admeasured by my appointment according to the articles of agreement made between Benjamin Warrerley Esquire, Surveyor General of Lands, on behalf of the state, on the one part, and myself, on the other part, being dated the 11th day of December, 1654. Witness my hand, William Petty.
So, on the map, moving in from the sea at Ringsend, the first area is in the shape of a diamond. It has a border in ink, and each side of the diamond is about an inch long, and it would represent about half a square mile of area. The inscription in the diamond is Simmons Court, Lord Merion, Irish Papist, 78 acres. Moving further inland, almost adjoining Simmons Court, is Roebuck, Baron Trimbleston, Irish Papist, 500 acres, arable and pasture. Moving some considerable distance now further to the west inland, we come to Dundrum, Colonel Oliver Fitzwilliam, Irish Papist, 62 acres, arable meadow and pasture. And then going south, we come to an area marked off as Kilmacud, Morris Archibald, Irish Papist, 150 acres, arable and pasture.
Well, Noel, listening to what you're telling me there, certainly the place names are ones that we know. The phrase Irish Papist is occurring with alarming regularity. And obviously, the nature of this land and the amount of the land are very important details. What exactly are we looking at?
Well, what we're looking at is one of the parish maps of the Down Survey.
The parish of Donnybrook is bounded on the north and east with that part of the harbour of Dublin called Pool Beg, on the south with the parish of Taney, and on the west with the Liberties of Dublin. The quality of the soil is arable meadow and pasture. There stands in the townland of Merry Young a fair stone castle and a grove of trees. The west side of Simmons Court is mered with a pleasant river, which runs through the liberties of the city of Dublin and meets the River Liffey, where it empties itself into the ocean.
The Down Survey was carried out on behalf of the Cromwellian government in the 1650s.
So this was all about what sort of land have we got and what are we going to do with this land? What specific lands were being mapped and looked at in the Down Survey?
There were lands that had been confiscated from people who opposed Cromwell during his campaign in 1649-1650. The lands were confiscated, and in practically all cases, the owners of those estates were Catholics, and they're termed Irish Papists here.
I, Dr. William Petty, in this survey undertake to admeasure all the forfeited lands according to the natural, artificial, and civil bounds thereof, and whereby the said land is distinguished into wood, bog, mountain, arable, meadow, and pasture. Moreover, to add and set out such auxiliary lines and limits as may facilitate and ascertain the intended final subdivision without any re-admeasurement. To perform the same by the last of October 1655, if the Lord give seasonable weather, and that his instruments be not forced to stand still for want of bounders. To give good security, both of the time of performing the same and the exactness of the measure. I demand, for performance of said premises, either £30,000 for the whole, or else £6 per 1,000 acres, to be paid by portions hereafter to be agreed on.
So when Cromwell had this survey done for himself and he knew who owned the lands, these Irish Papists that hadn't been loyal to him during the Cromwellian Wars, I presume he wanted to do something with that land.
He had two categories of creditors. The first were the officers and soldiers. He had an army of 20,000 men and he hadn't been able to pay them for a long part of the campaign. So there were substantial arrears which had to be paid to the soldiers and officers. The second category were known as adventurers. They were investors, the people who financed his campaign in Ireland, which was quite costly in that it meant hiring and requisitioning and payment of a force of 20,000 soldiers and officers, and also large amounts of artillery and naval backup.
Were there no surveys that he could have used that existed previous to this?
There were a number of earlier surveys of what you would call plantation surveys. One of the earliest was of part of Munster, which was carried out in the 1580s. It was the lands of the Earl of Desmond, which had then been confiscated. More recently then, in the earlier part of the 17th century, the lands which were planted in the course of the Ulster Plantation had been surveyed. And more recently again, in the 1630s, a large part of Connacht had been surveyed in what was known as the Strafford Survey.
But this Down Survey is clearly a very important one. The name itself, Down Survey, is a little unusual, but perhaps if we look again at the map and the page beside the map, we get some idea of why it's called Down Survey.
Surveys tended at the time to be tabulated. The data collected in the survey would appear in tabulated form, or sometimes it would be written down as a description. In the case of the Down Survey, the person who was carrying it out or in charge of the operation, William Petty, he used the expression, "We will set it down on paper," and probably underline the word down. And people picked on the word down. It became what you would call a piece of office jargon, which eventually found its way into history.
The following instructions will be observed by Dr. William Petty in the making and drawing up of the books of reference, which are to be returned into the office of this Surveyor General. For the more clear and distinct knowledge of the quantity of forfeited profitable lands and other lands belonging to the Commonwealth in each barony, you are to draw up so many books of reference as may answer the number of baronies you had measure, each book containing an entire barony by itself. Within the books, you are briefly to describe the barony, by its meets and bounds, by the soil, by the nature of the soil in general, by the rivers rising out of it, running through it, or meeting in it, by the several cities, towns, passes, and other things of eminency or note relating or belonging to it. In describing or setting down each proprietor's land, you are to divide the leaf into several columns. And, beginning on the left hand, you are, in the first column, to set down the number referred to for that parcel of land in the plot. In the next column, the proprietor's names, whether English or Irish Papist. In the third column, the name of the townland, ploughland, cartern, or any other denomination of land. In the last column, the number of acres are to be distinguished by a line into profitable and unprofitable, and the profitable again into meadow, arable or pasture.
One of the important things in terms of the Down Survey was that the notes were actually taken in the field. Now, I wouldn't guess that William Petty went around every parish in Ireland and did all of this himself. He must have had an enormous number of people working for him. How was it organised?
Petty got the contract and he reckoned that it would take 1,000 men. Now, traditionally, surveys were done mainly by professional land surveyors who tended to be expensive, and there was no way that Petty could afford to employ 1,000 surveyors. So he was a very good manager and, as it were, broke the whole project down into its component parts, and he looked at the skills that would be implied in carrying out the various parts of the operation. So for the main part of the work, that's in the field, he employed soldiers. There were plenty of ex-soldiers around at the time, and he employed them because they knew the country. They could, as he used the term, leap ditches and hedges and wrestle with the locals if need be. They could look after themselves.
The soldiers in the field then, when they weren't wrestling with locals and jumping ditches to avoid them, how did they go about the surveying? Had they new techniques?
Not really. Petty used the technology of the time, really. For instance, in surveying Simmons Court, the soldiers would measure the boundary along the dodder, measure it with a chain. After, say, a quarter of a mile, they come to where there's a sharp left angle in the line of boundary. So at that point, they would measured the angle with an instrument known as a circumferentor, which was a type of compass with viewing sights. So they would take a line of the new boundary line and then measure that to the next point where there was a turn in the boundary line.
And in the field, they simply would have written down data that described that rather than drawing any type of picture or anything like that.
The measurements of the distances and the measurements of the angles would be written down in a field book. To ensure that every angle was recorded, that every twist and turn was recorded, Petty paid so much for every angle that was measured so that they wouldn't literally cut corners. That data went into the field book. The field book was then sent to an office in Dublin where different grades of the team carried out the next stages.
So when we look at the page in front of us on the left-hand side, we have a drawing of a map, and on the right-hand side, we have quite an amount of descriptive data. These, I presume, are taken from what was written in the field books.
The field books were used to compile the maps, but some of the data also went into what were known as terriers, which accompanied the map. Terrier comes from the Latin word terra, meaning land. So these are really descriptions of the area, and it would give some of the same information as what is on the land. It would give the names of the owners, that's the owners of the confiscated estates. It would give the acreage. It would give the quality of the land, whether it's arable, meadow or pasture, or whether it's unprofitable land.
Kilmainham Parish is bounded on the northwest and north with the Barony of Castleknock and the Liberties of Dublin City, on the southwest and west with the parishes of Clondalkin and Ballyfermot. It contains the townlands of Kilmainham, Inchicore, Dolphin's Barn, the Phoenix and Newtown. The quality of the land is arable meadow and pasture. On Kilmainham there stands the ruins of a large castle, a street of good habitable houses, two double mills, a single mill in repair, and an arched bridge across the River Liffey. At Inchicore, the ruins of a brick house. At Dolphin's Barn, two very fair houses, a mill in repair, and five detached houses. At the Phoenix, a very stately house, now in good repair.
This is another parish map that we're looking at from the Down Survey Knoll. And in some ways, there's more detail on this map, and in other ways, there's less detail. For example, we don't seem to get quite as many mentions of estates and names. Why might that be?
The reason is that in this particular area, you didn't have as many Irish papists forfeiting their lands. The survey was concerned with confiscated land, and in areas where there wasn't confiscated land, very often the map is left blank. But Petty had an idea of making a byproduct from the maps, so he instructed his surveyors and fieldsmen to note topographical data and details which they put in on the map. And in this map of Kilmainham, we find that there are very few forfeited estates, whereas there is quite an amount of detail.
For example, we see Kilmainham town and a few little houses drawn around a small river, which we were presuming is the Camac River, but also further up on the map is the main river of Dublin, which we all recognise as the Liffey. He had his eye on making a bit of money here as a map maker, did he?
Yes, he had an idea of making an atlas with maps of each county and maps of the provinces and a general map of Ireland. Now, there is quite a lot of detail on this map. For instance, on the Liffey, you find Chapel Lizard, it's spelled here. And down at the Island Bridge end, you find two water mills on the Liffey. And again, on the River Camac, you find a bridge marked in, and you find further down a water mill. The Camac flows down from Ballyfermot and goes into the sea down near the present Houston station.
Another interesting detail here is he's starting to put in roadways. We get the roadway to Maynooth, and also the roadway to Lucan. A little bit south of Lucan, there's an interesting detail.
Yes, that is the highway to the Fox and Geese. Now, that comes out from the city, from Dublin. It comes out near the present Houston station, and then it heads more or less south through Ballyfermot.
And there is currently in that general area around Ballyfermot, an inn or a pub called the Fox and Geese, which I know is a very old pub, so this might well be a signpost to that watering hole.
It might indeed. Incidentally, the title of the map is The Parish of Kilmainham in the County of Dublin by Robert Girdler. Now, Robert Girdler was one of Petty's surveyors. He had a workforce of about 1,000 men, and about 70 of those were surveyors. And these were the people whose names appear on the maps, even though they didn't actually, in most cases, draw the maps. Petty considered that drawing the map from the data provided by the fieldmen didn't have to be done by an expensive surveyor. So he employed draftsmen, or sometimes people like painters or designers, somebody that could draw, to actually draw the map under the direction of the surveyor.
This map that we have in front of us now, Noel, still in the same book that we've been looking at, still part of the Down survey, but now we're moving into much bigger land masses.
The half-barony of Rathdown, in the county of Dublin, is bounded on the north with the harbour of the metropolitan city of Ireland called Dublin, on the south with part of the baronies of Newcastle and Upper Cross, and the half-barony of Rathdown in the county of Wicklow, and on the west with the liberties of the city of Dublin. The quality of the soil is good arable and meadow and pasture. There are, in this half-barony, many benefits of fishing and fowling, and many mills, both for corn and clothing, by reason that the city of Dublin is situated so near to it.
This is what's referred to as the half-barony of Rathdown in County Dublin. How do you define a barony? What is it?
Well, a barony was an administrative division. Each county was divided into a number of baronies. The term dates from Norman barons, and each county would be divided into maybe, say, from 7 to 12 baronies. And Dublin, in fact, there are 7 baronies. This particular barony that we're looking at now, it's the barony of Rathdown, or really the half barony of Rathdown, the other half being in County Wicklow.
North to south, how far are we talking about it stretching?
It stretches from, say, Balls Bridge or Donnybrook, taking in Dunleary, Killiney, out to Old Connacht, which is on the, it says Bray Water, that would be the River Dargle. And then it goes inland as far as more or less Kiltearnan, Sandyford, that sort of area.
So by putting in the boundaries as the Dodder on the north side and the Braywater or Dargle on the south side, he's obviously interested in the topographical features here. And I see Dawkey Island, in fact, is in there in the middle of the sea as well. But within each little parish, there are also what look like either towns or houses or castles. What are they?
Petty's contract required him to provide two kinds of maps. One were parish maps showing the confiscated estates, and also barony maps showing the parishes within each barony to set the sort of context for the parishes. In the barony maps, he wasn't required to put in any topographical detail, as it wasn't required for the purposes of the survey, but with an eye to commerce and to producing an atlas of counties and an atlas of the provinces, and including a map of Ireland as well, he wanted to have as much topographical data included in the barony maps as possible. So what you see there are mostly castles and big houses. For instance, the castles at Monkstown, Deansgrain, Shangala, Shankill, Little Bray and Ballycorus are all included. And also there are a number of big houses, for instance, at Loughlinstown, Leopardstown, Carrick Mines and Old Connacht.
So having drawn up the parish maps with the confiscated estates and then the barony maps as part of his contract, Petty went on to reduce things further and further and further. What was he at there? What was the next step?
He finished the survey and handed in the maps in 1659. But more or less straight away, he set about a private venture of publishing an atlas, which would include maps of the 32 counties, the 4 provinces, and a general map of Ireland. So for the county maps, he reduced the barony maps down into relatively small size, fitted them together as pieces in a jigsaw, and thereby constructed a map of each county.
In the case of County Kerry here, he's reduced his barony maps down to a county map. How satisfactory an exercise was it, Noel?
In some ways it was very satisfactory in that it provided a reasonably accurate outline of the county, and it provided a large amount of topographical detail. Unfortunately, much of the detail on the parish and barony maps was concerned with the names of places, townlands. And on the county map, a lot of townlands, which are of no great significance, are named. And more important places, such as smaller towns, which didn't happen to be at the centre of a landed estate, are not named.
So the real problem here is the fact that his parish maps went into the detail of confiscated lands and sometimes ignored other details means that when you get to a county map, there are really important things missing.
There are.
Like what's missing in Kerry, for example, that you would consider, how could they leave that out?
Well, one thing that's missing actually is the roads. A lot of the parish maps didn't, the couple that we looked at there for Dublin did actually include the roads, but it seems that for Kerry, most of the roads weren't included and they didn't find their way into the barony maps, and for that reason they didn't find their way into the county maps. Another problem is that parts of the county where little of the land was confiscated, for instance, in the barony of Clanmorris, in the area around Lixnaw, where the Fitzmaurices had a very large estate, that wasn't confiscated. So that area wasn't mapped on the 6-inch maps or the barony maps, and it's left practically blank in this county map.
Finally then, having collated so much information, Petty decided that this was all going to come together, first of all in provinces, and on this map that we're looking at now, a general map of Ireland, which is the very opening map in his atlas, Hibernia Delineatio. And when we look at it, certainly in terms of shape and outline, it's not that far off what we think of in terms of a modern map. But there are some areas that quite definitely were not part of his survey. Donegal has practically nothing in it.
No, and you might notice County Louth as well is relatively bare, and parts of, say, South Carlow and North Wexford.
In the case of Donegal, I can understand it because there's a remoteness there and possibly a mountainy landscape that might have been hard to survey. But down here in the southeast, you'd expect that that area, there would be plenty of information available to him.
Information, yes, but the situation was that he was surveying, concentrating on lands which were being confiscated. A lot of those areas, which appear blank here, the people remain loyal to Cromwell, so their lands were not confiscated.
So there was no need to record anything about them. And say over here in your own county of Kerry, you say there's a section of the map where, you know, there quite definitely was no surveying done.
That's right. The barony of Clanmorris there, the Fitzmaurice estates, and there were various other estates in Kerry as well which were not, where the owners remain loyal, and Limerick as well, you can see very little place names in.
To look at it very quickly, you seem to see the major rivers and the major lakes, now possibly in slightly off-kilter positions at times. How accurate is he?
It's relatively accurate, but he wasn't very satisfied with it as what you would call a showcase map for the period of 1680s, in that at that stage, a map of a large area such as Ireland would normally be done by reference to astronomy, bearings taken from the stars and so on, and it would be laid out on a grid of latitude and longitude. So this is constructed piecemeal, as I used the expression before, made up like a jigsaw. And that wasn't really the state of the art of cartography at that particular time. So it was an old-fashioned map, but very effective nevertheless.
And that again comes back, that old-fashioned nature comes back to the very reason the map was made in the first place.
The Down survey was for a very specific purpose, and the product was appropriate for the purpose. It wasn't an appropriate product to recycle really as a general map of Ireland.
It remained the basic reference point from this point until the Great Ordnance Survey of the 19th century, is that right?
It is. That is the amazing thing about it, in fact, in that it wasn't superseded for over 150 years. And Petty managed to do it with sort of what you might call, in a way, casual hired help, retired soldiers and people like that. Whereas the Ordnance Survey was carried out with the whole apparatus of the British Army behind it. And Petty did his surveying within 5 years, whereas the Ordnance Survey took about 15 years, from about 1825 to the early 1840s. So it was a very considerable achievement, the Down Survey.